Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct. Coming to you in Civic Media statewide in Madison, Waukesha, Wausau, and Wisconsin Rapids, and soon lots of other places. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And we're going to the telephone lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick?
Well, real quickly, and then I'll get to what I was going to talk to you about. There's a great bumper sticker about Citizens United. I'm sure you've seen it. I'll believe corporations are people when Texas executes one. Anyway, I drive through Willie Street quite often, so you can understand where I got that.
Yeah, thank God for Willie Wash. Willie.
Yeah. Here's the thing about this modern conservative movement, or whatever you want to call it, / Republican Party.
Yeah.
And thought back to William F. Buckley Jr., and I know I heard him say it, in that pompous way he sits back in his chair, and he was kind of condemning the United States for how low its voter turnout was in the last election, and I don't remember what year this was, and he goes, who is he or she president of when so few people elect him? But now we've got this party that wants to, I always thought democracy was about the most possible eligible people go to the polls. Now it's just, let's, you know, get rid of as many people as possible so we can win. I don't follow this. They've morphed so far away from that type of thing that it's not even funny.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And let me just quick build on it. Historically, with the Republican Party, remember something, the Republican Party right now, is the mainstream is being repudiated by first the Tea Party and now by the Trump people. You know, they attack Jeb Bush, they attack Liz Cheney. I mean, Bush-Cheney was the ticket in 2000, and I obviously was for Gore, and I thought they were terrible, and yet they now are being rejected by their own party. Historically, you know, when William F. Buckley got out of college in the 50s, and he basically founded the modern conservative movement, he ran for mayor of New York in 1966. He had the show Firing Line. And he was a conservative, but sort of the old school. And so in those days, absentee ballots were largely cast by Republicans. I remember many elections. You sit up and they go, well, the Democrats ahead by, you know, a few votes, but there are 10,000 absentee ballots haven't been counted, and those, you know, that looks bad. And then the 10,000 come in, and of course they're overwhelmingly Republican. That's the way it was. Now it's flipped around. Republicans are trying to discourage absentee ballots, and not only that, you had Trump, remember, in the Georgia in the runoff election back in 2000, where he goes, you know, it's rigged, don't bother to vote. And the Republican Party, Ronna McDaniel, who is the chairwoman of the Republican Party, and by the way, she's Mitt Romney's niece, believe it or not. In any event, she goes, no, please vote. But Trump may have cost them two Senate seats because Jonathan Ossoff and Raphael Warnock won, and they weren't overwhelming victories. So something's going on. You're exactly right. And there's a lot of hypocrisy. Remember something. The Republican Party hasn't published a platform starting in 2020. In 2020, they had one. Paul Manafort came in. He was Trump's fixer. Trump made him the president, the head of his campaign. Manafort changed the platform at the convention to be pro-Russian instead of standing with Ukraine, standing up to Russia. And they got away with it. And because Trump is on the take from the Russians, on the take and being blackmailed and funded. And there is the Caprophile video in the Moscow hotel room. But in any event, you have all that. And so, yeah, but it's not the Republican Party of Dwight Eisenhower anymore. It's not the Republican Party of John McCain. It's not the Republican Party of Liz Cheney or Adam Kinzinger. What it is this swirling band of malcontents, in some cases violent, and it hasn't settled down into a coherent party yet, but it is. And this happened in our country in the 1850s. Abraham Lincoln was the first Republican to run and win the presidency, but there hadn't been a Republican Party. There was a Whig Party and a Democratic Party and a Nativist Party and a Know-Nothing Party. And it's all these elements in the Big Bang. They swirl together and they come up with a party. That's what's happening right now. Going back to the lines, Mark of Prairie du Sac, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Mark?
Yeah, the previous caller just brought up, you know, the whole Paul Weyrich thing. Is he didn't want everybody, we don't want everybody to vote, and to have this guy, you know, on tape of saying this, you know, so that actually a Republican, right-winger, you know, saying, actually coming out and saying, they have him on tape, it's a recording that we've probably all heard of it, that we don't want, you know, we don't want everybody to vote because, you know, when the voting count goes down, that's when they win. And for this constitutional sheriff, this constitutional whatever the powers of, you know, I've read the Constitution. I don't see any place in there where the sheriff is actually mentioned. Now, he might be going back to old common law when the sheriff was working for, you know, that Dia Gisborne and for you know, John Lackland, you know, the bad Prince John that I don't know where they pulled that out of. I mean, I just can't. Where they come up with sheriff in the Constitution, I don't understand.
I got to say something. The thing is, these folks really don't know the Constitution well. They don't know Madison and Jefferson and Washington and Franklin and Hamilton. I mean, it's not like they just come up with a new amendment and it goes, the sheriff. You know, the sheriff goes back to English history 1,000 years. You remember the Sheriff of Nottingham? He was a fictitious character. The sheriff is more powerful than the president. You know, I don't know why I laugh. Why should I laugh? Occasionally, I got to laugh. Nick of Madison, my friend, you're up next. Thanks for calling us on your mind, Nick.
Hey, thanks, Matt, for taking my call. One thing that you harp on a lot, and first of all, I'm not a Trump supporter at all. I think he's probably one of the dumbest men to ever live, but you keep saying he's on the take with the Russians. Well, he claimed without evidence, still for years, that the election was stolen for him. So, Matt, I'm just asking you to put up or shut up. What is your evidence that he is actually on the take for the Russians and not just something that, you know, people who hate Trump like I do just want to believe?
Good. No, that's an excellent question. I'm going to give you the answer right now. And Nick, you're a principled conservative. I love your calls, and I hope you continue to do it frequently. In any event, Trump owed the Bank of Cyprus and Deutsche Bank money. Bank of Cyprus is a money laundering bank for Russia, Russian oligarchs. Deutsche Bank has looked the other way on a lot of transactions. He owed them a lot of money. Trump owned a property in the Palm Beach area in Florida. This is prior to the 2020 election. It was prior to the 2016 election. It was worth $50 million, 50. Suddenly, a Russian oligarch comes in and says, boy, I really want that property. I'll give you $100 million for it. Trump says, well, okay, the art of the deal. He sells a $50 million property for $100 million. He takes it, pays off the debt on the property, and then repays his debt to Deutsche Bank. Now you'd think, okay, this Russian oligarch has a lot of money. Maybe he's going to make it a resort. Maybe he'd make it a hotel. Maybe he'd build condos. No, he didn't do any of that. He tore down the buildings on it and left it vacant. That is being on the take to the Russians. And the guy was an oligarch close to Putin. Trump has been funded by the Russians, when I say on the take, for more than 20 years. Eric Trump spoke to a reporter at a golf tournament, shot his mouth off, and the reporter asked him, quote, this is Eric Trump, one of his Trump sons, where do you get your money? Because you guys declared bankruptcy 6 times. It was not personal bankruptcy, but you incorporate a company, You don't give a personal guarantee. For some reason, New York banks aren't demanding them. I'll tell you what, if I tried to borrow $5 million, they'd want a personal guarantee if they gave it to me at all, which they probably wouldn't. So he pulls the plug six times. New York banks won't give him any money, more money. That means most international banks won't give him any money. Eric Trump said, well, we get our financing from Russia, as he put it, from Russia. Russia's Putin. That's where he gets his money. Now, you say, is that on the take? Putin does not lend money to people. Putin buys people. That's my basis, Nick. That's my proof. Oligarch comes in, buys a $50 million property for $100 million and tears down the buildings. This has been reported before. I've mentioned it before. And that's what happens. So he has, and the final thing I'll say is, Mueller took a dive in the Mueller investigation. He didn't investigate financial ties at all between Trump and Russia. When he was asked about it, he said, well, that wasn't what they asked me. Well, they asked you to see if there was Russian interference and obstruction. Don't you think it's a legitimate material issue whether Trump was getting money from the Russians? Well, they had to spell it out. I didn't do it. Mueller was a Republican, moderate Republican. Mueller did not want to compromise Trump because he thought it'd be compromising the presidency. He took a dive. He's a palooka. He got in the ring. The other guy took one punch and he went down on the mat because he didn't want to do anything. So there you have it, my friend. There you have it. Trump gets back in. You know, he's sitting in Helsinki. He's sitting in Helsinki with Putin. Reporter goes, the CIA and the FBI just said that the Russians hacked into the 2016 election. What do you think? He said, I don't believe them. Turns to Putin. Putin has told me he didn't do it. Why would he do it? Why would he do it? Oh, really, why would he do it? Do you know any history at all? Do you know the history of Russia? Stalin? Do you know the history of the Soviet Union? Of their murder and theft? Why would he do it? That's my evidence. Nick, thanks for calling in. Going to break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Midnight Rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to the Mar-a-Lago document affidavit. And I'll tell you the delaying tactics that the Trump people are doing, why they're not going to succeed. And Judge Reinhart down there is, I think, doing some things that are weak. I don't think they're going to work. But here's what's going on. The New York Times just reported last night that Trump had taken more than 300 classified documents, 300 of them. The Washington Post reported some of them were had to do with nuclear secrets. It's been reported that Trump personally looked through them all, and he was just keeping them down there in an unsecure location, off the swimming pool, some kind of hallway, unlocked thing. There are servicemen, delivery men, there are waiters, people who make up the beds, guests at weddings. Anybody can roam around. No Secret Service there. Well, and this went on until June when the Department of Justice met with Trump's people, and he said, I've given back everything. And they had initially said, well, you know, put a padlock on it, then turned out he was lying. Well, here are the latest developments. Trump had taken more than 300 classified documents, number one. Initially, in the last couple of days, Judge Reinhart, he's the magistrate judge who signed the warrant. You know, this is not out of the ordinary. Somebody from the Justice Department puts in an affidavit and a proposed search warrant, says, here are the three criminal statutes that were violated. They're felonies. And here's our belief under oath why there's evidence of it in that in Mar-a-Lago. And so he signs it. He immediately got death threats. His kids got death threats. He's under security. His synagogue was subject to anti-Semitic threats, and it had to cancel services over a weekend. And I get it. You know, he is, he's concerned. I would be too. We had a judge in New York named Duffy, who a federal judge, who agreed to take all of the Islamic terrorist cases, and he was threatened all the time. And they got him a house in Connecticut that was very secure, and his family, and they had 24/7 major security around the guy. My solution would be actually catch the people that do it. Don't, they can argue all they want. Give them long prison sentences, everyone that threatens a judge. But in any event, Judge Reinhardt initially over the weekend said that he might keep the affidavit sealed after all to protect Trump, he said. And that was obvious, just a sop to the right-wing nuts who were threatening him, because it would lay out the layout of Mar-a-Lago and where Trump is, and it'd be easy for somebody to come in and bump off Trump. That's what he said. He was pandering to the right to hope that he could appease them. The right cannot be appeased. I mean, you've got to understand that. The right cannot be appeased. Now, later on, yesterday, Reinhardt reversed course, and he said, well, now he thinks he will unseal some of the affidavit. He thinks it's necessary so that people in the country understand the enormity of this. And the government has till Thursday. Today's Tuesday. Thursday to redact it. And then he'll look at it. The other side can look at their motion. They cannot look at the government's filing. And then Reinhardt will do his own redaction. And then it can be headed up on appeal. In the meantime, here's what Trump does. He sues the government. He says, I want a special master. Now, a special master to review the documents to see if they're classified. Well, first of all, I've asked judges a number of times in litigation to appoint a special master. Sometimes they're called a referee in some courts. What it is, it's usually a retired lawyer or judge who's honest, and he gets to look at it and make a recommendation to the judge, because the judge doesn't have time to look at 300 documents. Well, no. I mean, who is a special master? Does he have some kind of security clearance? This is a delaying tactic. Another clown, this is a guy named Turner from Ohio, Republican Turner. Mike Turner said, well, Trump was justified in taking these documents because he wanted to write a memoir. Trump doesn't know how to write. He doesn't write. He had a book, The Art of the Deal, that he used a ghostwriter for. That was absolute baloney with no evidence. The Republican Party is standing up and defending the taking of nuclear secrets that is a felony. Trump said that I must have declassified them. No, he didn't declassify them. There's a procedure to declassify them. A guy doesn't, on the way out, say, you know, kind of wave his hand over them and bless them and say, I declassify you. That's not how it works. And frankly, for violation of the Espionage Act, doesn't matter if they're classified or not, if you turn over to a foreign government any of our secrets that would impair our defense, that's a felony. That's espionage. Espionage. And that affidavit sets that out. Let me tell you the two real concerns about forcing the disclosure of that affidavit now. One of them is the safety of witnesses. Even if you take out their names, redact their names, when you start describing what they said, you are identifying them. People will know who it is, and their name will go out on the internet, and the trolls will threaten them and may hurt them. The guy in Cincinnati shot at FBI agents. But the second thing that is just as bad is this. Foreign governments are going to read this too. And even if it's redacted, when any of the information comes out, say about Russia or China or North Korea, there is only going to be a handful of people in those countries who possibly could have known that and given it to our CIA or our FBI. And those people are going to be killed, because they're going to know who the weak link is, even without naming them, and kill them. And Trump did this. He exposed by accident an Israeli agent with Al-Qaeda? It cannot be disclosed. We're going to a break. You're on the lines. I see you. Do not hang up. Take a brief break. I'll get to the lines back after the break. Back to Matt Flynn, director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Robert of West Allis, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Robert?
Good morning. Over the last week, we've heard a couple of stories, which have really got me thinking. Water conditions down the southwest, you know, the Colorado River, being over the use of water. It's gotten so bad that even in Mexico, that there isn't even water for sale. You start thinking back about Bolivia, when Bechtel, you know, took over the water. Farmers couldn't get water. People could get drinking water, except at exorbitant prices. What I've been thinking a lot about is, you know, as part of the Foxconn con or scam, water rights were given up to the Great Lakes. So I was wondering if any effort has been put in place to remove that. We've also seen in other states where there's a lot of foreign investment buying up farmland. I don't know if it's mismanagement of their own resources, but, you know, I have a concern. A lot of that investment isn't registered under the law. It's supposed to be registered of who's buying it, what country they're from. But a lot of that register is missing. This was the law that Chuck Grassley put in place. So my concern is, some of these countries that have mismanaged the resources, are we going to find ourselves in a situation where they're selling the stuff back to us, our own farmland or our own water at exorbitant prices? And then what kind of efforts have been being put in place, A, to get Foxconn out of our water system, and because they haven't lived up to their commitment? And then B, what's going on with this holdover on the DNR board, this Prend guy who refused to leave, even though the governor's appointed another person.
Yeah, you've raised a lot of issues. Let me boil down the main ones, good issues. First of all, there's a guy on the DNR board, chairman, who his term expired a couple of years ago, and Evers put in his replacement. And the state Senate, gerrymandered Republican, won't take up the confirmation. And then they go, well, until they do that, the old guy can stay on. The old guy has done everything he can to stop the regulation of cancer, causing forever chemicals going into the water because the manufacturers don't want regulations. So he stands with them and a lot of other things that are terrible. And Republican judges said, yeah, that's okay. They're relying on a case a long time ago where the justices let somebody stay on for a few weeks. You know, the successor was brought to the Senate in good faith and was confirmed. And so, yeah, it was a few weeks. This is a couple of years. You know, with lame duck, what the Republicans have done is found a legal way to stay in power, to keep the governorship on a lot of issues, keep the attorney generalship on a lot of issues, and then keep the administrative agencies that regulate, in this case, the environment. That's wrong. It's unlawful. They tried that in North Carolina. Federal judges shut it down. I don't know why it stayed in state court in this, but until we get a Supreme Court that is fair, and I've said this before, Robert, the most important election coming up is the state Supreme Court election, primary in February, general in April. We got to get somebody on there, make it 4-3 in the good way. And Judge Janet Protasiewicz, former prosecutor, top-notch prosecutor and judge in Milwaukee, is running. She's my candidate. I've known her a long time. And she came right out when the Republicans' Supreme Court said you can't have Dropbox. She said, that's ridiculous. She's tough. She's smart. She would not let this clown stay on. We need that. Number two, many countries have laws where you can't buy real estate in their country, like Mexico, unless the majority of it is owned by Mexican citizens. So, you know, we can look at that. But with Foxconn, what you have is they were given by the Republicans, by Walker, with Trump egging them on, essentially ownership of some of the most valuable industrial land in Wisconsin. It's midway between O'Hare Airport and Mitchell Field. It's near Lake Michigan. And they were given the rights to dump 4 million gallons of water a day into Lake Michigan without an environmental impact statement by the Republicans. Now, Evers came along. My advice is sue them for breach of contract. They said that, you know, they got $1 billion already. No one gave $1 billion to Miller Brewing or Johnson Controls. If they want to try to make a profit, why did we give them $1 billion? We promised them $4 billion. So Evers negotiated a settlement where we only gave them $80 million. Well, it's better than $4 billion, but they're still there. They told Intel and Oshkosh they couldn't have that land. They were going to build a factory that would hire thousands of people at high wages. So Intel went to Ohio and Oshkosh went to South Carolina to make electric postal vehicles. And these guys from China, these Chinese guys go, well, we're going to make electric vehicles, large screen TVs, small screens, electric toasters. They're not doing anything. Now, I do not know if in Evers' renegotiation of the contract, he got rid of the ability to, because they could then sell that ability perhaps to somebody else to dump 4 million and take 7 million gallons a day out and dump 4 million of waste into Lake Michigan without an environmental impact statement. That's what the Republicans did. And my counsel was sue them for breach of contract and get them out and get our $1 billion back. So that's what you get. That was a major issue of mine in my gubernatorial campaign. I put on ads. Everybody said, well, you know, maybe they'll create jobs. You know who creates jobs? Johnson Controls, Miller Brewing. They're the people that create jobs. And they don't get a dime. You see what I'm saying? They don't get a dime. Well, I want to get to a topic. This is amazing. Ron Johnson, I don't know who's advising this guy. He now says he won't testify before the January 6th committee. He says there's no reason. He said, quote, I was involved in Trump's fake elector scheme for only a couple of seconds. I fielded 3 texts and I sent 2. That's all. Gee, you know, I wasn't in on the murder. I gave 3 bullets to the hitman. And it only took a couple of seconds. Why should I testify? This guy's unbelievable. He right now is our what? Our senator? He's unbelievable. He said, I won't testify before the January 6th committee. I was only involved in Trump's fake elector scheme for a couple of seconds. Hey, guy, you're involved in a hit. I don't care if your part of it was a couple of seconds or a couple of minutes. I fielded 3 texts and I sent 2. Why should I testify before that? They got to subpoena him. Here's the deal. They're not subpoenaing members of Congress because, you know, it's sort of professional courtesy. It's a honor among thieves and wolves. This is us. You know, we're the people that control the Congress, not Congress. We're the people that control it. Subpoena these guys, Ron Johnson. But that was his excuse? I'm not going to testify before the January 6th committee. They want him to on the fake elector thing. I was involved in Trump's fake elector scheme for only a couple of seconds. Well, yeah, it was more than that, Jack. The guy from Pennsylvania sent you the Michigan state electors, and you had the Wisconsin state electors, and your aide, your chief of staff, passed them on to Mike Pence's aide. What was the Pennsylvania guy, Congressman, doing with the Michigan electors? And why did he pass them to the Wisconsin senator to give to Mike Pence? What were you trying to cover up? Going to the Lions. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling us your mind today, Gene.
Good morning. This is the guy, you know, that said that, the people there were very peaceful. He's got to go. I hope everybody gets their butts out and gets that guy out of there. You know, this has been going on for a really long time, and the BS that's going on, I just can't believe it. And to watch, the senators from years ago who took their job seriously, who are refusing to testify, and you know who I'm talking about, Mr. Graham, unbelievable, and Ron Johnson, he hasn't done one thing for the state of Wisconsin. In fact, he's brought us right down in the butthole. Like, it's unbelievable. And thanks for bringing this up, Matt, because people got to start paying attention who aren't. And people who are in denial need to wake up now, because this is so serious. And also with the Foxconn deal, man, anybody who has a finger who could research and look on their iPhones and look it up, that this company was bad news. They had to put nets outside of their firm. No.
Right, they put nets in China.
Committing suicide.
Right,
from
so guys
there,
couldn't
you
jump
know?
Out the window. Right. Yeah. No, Gene, your stuff is great. I love your passion. And yeah, what kind of senator says, I'm not going to testify, I was only involved in a crooked thing for a few seconds? What, I was only involved for a few seconds? I don't know how I came up with the Michigan electors that were sent to me by Pennsylvania. Give me a break. We go on to Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill? Bill of Oconomowoc. Well, thanks for calling in, Bill. I think we have a misconnection. Call back. Look forward to talking with Bill. Look forward to talking with you. But to respond to Gene as well, Foxconn's scam nature had been known. They'd pulled this in other states. They go in. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
Hey, good morning, Matt. So how about some good news? I think you and all the other guys on this station are making a difference. Out in Oconomowoc, Lake Country here, it's about 4-1 signs for Tony Evers to Michaels. And on Ron Johnson, I don't see one pro-Ron Johnson sign out here. Not one. I think they're embarrassed. He's a co-conspirator. He knows he is. He did an illegal act. For the life of me, I don't know why he's not being charged. That there's an investigation right there. That man loves to investigate everything from toenails to everything, all this stupid stuff. Here's a serious investigation. The guy conspired to overthrow the government, and he was part of it. He had documents. He knows he does. Did. We got to call him out on that. And by the way, all you listeners out there, call Dan O'Donnell and wake him up to the facts. Thanks, and have a great day.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. And, you know, the difference between Dan O'Donnell's show and this show is we take calls from conservatives, anybody. If you try to call Dan O'Donnell, good luck. You know, you may not get on the air. You probably won't. And if you do, you're not going to be on for very long. But frequently, they sort of insult you and hang up on you. I look forward to talking with you. But, you know, you're right, Bill. Look, here's the deal. What kind of guy, U.S. Senator, says, I was only involved in the crooked stuff for a few seconds. And then what? And then Mike Pence wouldn't take the crooked electors from Michigan that the congressman from Pennsylvania gave to the senator from Wisconsin to send to Mike Pence? They were covering it up. It was a cover-up. And Pence didn't turn it down as chief of staff because somehow he had a sudden attack of morality. He turned it down because he said, this is too dangerous. This is too dangerous. But this blew me away. He should testify. Even Pence said he considered testifying. Johnson said, I won't testify. I was only involved in Trump's fake elector scheme for a couple of seconds. I fielded 3 texts and I sent 2. That's an admission. That's an admission. All right, he fielded 3 texts. Which texts? What did you do with those texts? What did you think when you got the texts? Why did you send 2 out? Why did you send anything out? Why didn't you say, no way, Jose, I'm not going to be involved in this? Why did you go through with this? That was the crooked electing, the Green Bay sweep, where they were going to get up there and Trump and Pence was supposed to say, I won't accept these. Goes in the House of Representatives. The way it works then is each state gets 1 vote, and more than half the states have a majority Republican delegation, even if it's a small one, and Trump would have been president. That's what it was. We're going to break. The lines are live. I see you. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
She got down, but she never got touch. She's going to make it through the night.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for going with us tonight today, Wisco Paul.
Hey, good morning, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. As always, you have great callers. You just bring out the best in people, I guess, Matt. Hey, I wanted to mention something about the Republicans. And when they don't get their way, their rhetoric gets very, very violent. They're like crybabies. I don't know how to put you have death threats coming to the FBI. Maybe that's the problem when you don't have a platform. You can just go which any way on any subject you want to. But the violent rhetoric has to quit. And the really true Trump Republicans, you're not going to convince them. I don't. It's just an amazing thing. The other thing I wanted to bring up very quickly was Citizens United. That has basically destroyed the Republican Party from the standpoint unlimited money can come from anywhere. Russia, that needs to be changed. Somewhere on the line, the Supreme Court, we need a different Supreme Court to get that overthrown or whatever, because and I'm not totally positive about this, but my understanding is it was on CNN that a billionaire has given billions of dollars to a right-wing group to run ads. Now, I don't know how much truth there is in that, but what I'm saying here is Citizens United has to be fixed, and the Republicans need to tone down this violent rhetoric. I don't care if it's Ron Paul they're going to get somebody seriously hurt. So thanks for your show, Matt. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Two things. One is earlier we did a segment on that billionaire. He gave his name is Bar Said, and he gave $1.6 billion to a right-wing group run by a guy named Leo, last name Leo, who is the co-chairman of the Federalist Society, and you're right. And that was in May of 2020. It's $1.6 billion. And Citizens United does have to be overturned for all the reasons we talked in our earlier segment. Everything else you said is right on the money, the violence, remember, Trump started it in 2016. He said that the Second Amendment people should take care of Hillary Clinton, and the Secret Service talked to him. If you or I said that, it would have been a felony. They were afraid to arrest him because he was a Republican nominee. Then he said her bodyguard should be disarmed. Nobody said that about him. And then he said at his rallies that, you know, beat up these protesters and I'll pay your legal fees. So he said. And as a result, Dr. Fauci, by the way, just announced he's stepping down in December. Dr. Fauci is 81 years old. Dr. Fauci has been, since he was 43, for the last 38 years, he has been the director of the National NIH, the National Institute of Health, of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. And he is Biden's senior medical guy, and he's had enough. He has had death threats. This is over health, for Pete's sake. It has nothing to do with Russia. Death threats, his wife has, his kids and grandkids. He has 24/7 protection. He said, I don't need this. There is a violent element out there, and frankly, these people have got to be given stiff jail sentences. There's got to be a consequence. One good thing, and this is a piece of good news, new poll came out and asked voters, these are Republicans, Democrats, everybody, independents, good poll, what is the most important issue to you in this election? And up until now, it had been inflation, jobs, the economy, immigration, this kind of stuff. New poll, number one, majority of people in this country, is, quote, the threat to our democracy. The threat to our democracy. That's amazing. People are picking up on this. Bill of Oconomowoc said that out in the, now Oconomowoc is ground zero for Republicans normally. Waukesha County is, and Oconomowoc in particular. I mean, it's a very upscale area, very beautiful area. And he said that Evers signs are 4-1 over Michaels, and he hasn't seen a Ron Johnson one. I think that there are Republicans, even conservative ones, who are more in the tradition of the Republican Party, which would be something like Dwight Eisenhower, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, and they're not going to put up with crooks, and they're not going to put up with thieves, and they're not going to put up with violence. And that's a very helpful sign. Now, we have an election coming up in November, and this is the end of August, basically. And we have a little over 2.5 months. Today, the primaries are in Florida and New York. They're important. But after the last primaries in early September, we have 2 months where we're going to have some really real fighting. But I think right now, in the generic ballot, they go to people, they go, if you were going to vote tomorrow for Congress, would you vote for the Democrat or Republican? Without saying who they are. Democrats have been underwater by a bit. Now they're slightly ahead. About 1% or 2% more people say, I'll vote for the Democrat rather than Republican. That is very helpful. On the other hand, something like 70% say the country's in the wrong direction. And part of that is because the country is facing some very tough issues right now. They're facing Russia. They're facing China. They've faced down COVID and inflation. Gas is under $4 a gallon in a lot of places now. It had been up over $5. Biden's doing a good job. Inflation is like a fever in a body. It doesn't localize. You don't have a fever in your foot and not the rest of your body. It's worldwide, and there's a lot of reasons for it. England, Britain is up to 10% inflation. Biden's done a good job bringing it down relative to everybody else. Done a very good job standing up to Russia. Very good job trying to contain China. And the new polls are starting to reflect that. Starting to say that the threat to our democracy, and that threat is not coming from the Democratic Party. So there you have it. It's very, very good news. Very, very good news. Trump, in the meantime, lashes out. He put out a statement yesterday. This is unbelievable. Mitch McConnell, he said, Mitch McConnell has a crazy wife, Elaine Chao. She got rich off of the Chinese. Well, she is Chinese. Here's where he goes. Who does this? Quote, why do the Republicans allow a broken down hack politician like Mitch McConnell to disparage hardworking Republican candidates? He should spend more time helping them get elected, less time helping his crazy wife and family get rich off the Chinese. Now, her family owns a Chinese shipping company that's called the Foremost Group, and her sister's the CEO. She's bad news, but I mean, he doesn't say, Trump, you had three crazy wives, or none of your three were crazy. The Republican Party is starting to split up. We're going to end of the show. It was a great show. Thanks for calling in. Great callers as always. Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.